Hi, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. My talk is on bicycle injuries that occur while commuting to work or to school. And this work was done in Portland, Oregon, and it was done as a labor of love, lot of love, by Melissa Hockland, a medical student, Ellen Peck, a trauma research nurse, and John Mayberry, a trauma surgeon, and myself. Because it's a labor of love, we have no financial interest or conflict to declare. Okay, as you know, bicycle is really gaining in popularity. Everybody's doing it, and some people are being very safe in these activities, and others are not. And certainly, when you look at the numbers of individuals who are on bikes commuting here in DC streets, you can see that this is getting to be a more popular way of getting around. Commuting to work on a bike, though, is different than other forms of riding that you might do. Recreational riding is something that you do often on a bike path or a park. At times of day where you're able to separate yourself from traffic, you have some choice. But commuting to work takes you often into some very congested areas, and you're forced to deal with vehicles and other hazards. It's also a different kind of mode of travel because you do the same route, typically day in, day out. I don't know how many of you are like me, but every once in a while I get done with my commute and I go, how did I get here? You get into a zone. You know where the hazards are, but you also are somewhat hypnotized. So we thought it would be useful to learn more about this form of commuting because cities like Portland have made millions of dollars of investment into the bike paths, bike boulevards, lining our streets with bike lanes here. Some of the workers in Portland contribute to the culture in a creative way. They take the reflective material they use for marking the bike paths and cut it out and keep us all humorous in avoiding road rage. Portland's doing pretty well. Like other cities in the United States and in Europe, we've seen a reduction over time in the number of crashes reported to the police as ridership has increased. And this graph shows on the vertical bars the increasing trend in bicyclists riding in Portland. If you've been to our city, you know that across the Willamette there are a number of bridges and counts are made at various places. We've seen an astronomic increase up to almost 18,000 riders per day, men and women coming across the bridges at various points. And in that time, you can see the reported bike crashes to the police department. These are not all the crashes, of course, but the red dots show you that over time, they've been pretty stable. So as more and more cyclists are on the road and more drivers are cyclists themselves, we've actually seen a trend towards reduced numbers of crashes. But this doesn't really tell us the whole picture or number of injuries. One great thing that's happened in Portland is the continued high prevalence of use of bicycle helmets. Helmets are widely worn. About 3/4 of riders ride with helmets at these observation points where the counts are done. And so we think we're doing pretty good with education and prevention messages out there. But again, we don't really have an idea of the incidence of injuries, small, minor injuries, large injuries. We don't know the rider characteristics associated with injuries, but we know that a large number of people are out there doing this. Again, 17,000 per day in the good weather months of the year, at the checkpoints at least. And we don't know, you know, in addition to rider characteristics, what environmental factors might be associated with injury events. The outcomes in our study were any injury, any physical injury reported happening in a ride to work or to school. And so you can think of this as an acute event, not a repetitive motion or musculoskeletal injury like a sore knee from overuse, but rather something like a sprained ankle, a scrape, an abrasion, fracture, something like that. those events that, in the rider's point of view, would require medical attention were deemed a serious injury event. We recruited a cohort of 1,000 riders, and we did this using an annual event called the Bike Commute Challenge, where individual businesses compete against each other to see who has the largest ridership and who has the greatest mileage. And we recruited adults who identified themselves as bike commuters on a regular basis, and that they were within the Portland city limits on their commutes. People that had access to computers were needed, because this is the way that we performed our surveillance. And we needed to be able to work with individuals. Generally, everyone was literate in English as they judged themselves to participate. We used a true prospective cohort design, where we contacted our riders initially in October 2007 at the Bike Commute Challenge, did a baseline assessment of these 1,000 riders, and once a month over a coming year, we did these web-based surveys using SurveyMonkey to collect information from the riders. So on the first day of the month and in the week thereafter, they received reminders to get online and use the SurveyMonkey. Again, we did this all for free. This really worked out great, other than the expense of the license to get the SurveyMonkey software. We asked each month about the previous 30 days commuting habits. Were you on the same commute that you reported to us at baseline? Any changes, distance, things like that. And then if there was an injury event, we asked a lot of questions on the circumstances of the injury. What bike were you riding? Were you wearing protective helmet or reflective clothing? Were there lights on your bike? Aspects of weather, lighting, things like that. The cohort, as I mentioned, was 1,000 riders. And I'm an environmental epidemiologist. I love these statistics. We had such great response rate in this study. Unlike any study I've done before, they received coupons to local bike shops, a lot of volunteerism there, but we really collected an amazing amount of data. In total, about 9,500 person months of data. Each individual, whether they're riding or not, that particular month gave us about 10 months worth of data. This is really quite remarkable. Our cohort looked a little different than what we might have expected for the city. As you're well aware from being health researchers, women participate at a higher level as volunteers than men. And on the bridge counts, we know that we have a female ridership of about 25%, yet half our sample was female. Tended to be an older group of riders, 37 years of age on average, pretty fit, BMI about 24. And we had a range of bike commuting experience here, and I'll tell you in a little bit about how we defined this. But basically, 25% of our group were new to bike commuting to work or school. Another 25% were doing this for within the last year. And then experienced riders were those who had ridden 3 years or more. Safety practices are widely used in Portland, as I mentioned. And in this group, 95% at baseline reported wearing a helmet, also a high proportion using lights to ride in the dark. Reflecting clothes, often used about half the time. Mirrors, not so useful for most of us who ride a lot. And half of the riders had expressed some type of prior injury event. The average commute was about 11 miles round trip per day, and people had been riding this route for about 3.5 years. 90% used bike lanes at least some point in their commute, and half were on residential streets, and 94% of riders encountered a major street somewhere along on their commute. You can see this person, she's riding up on one of the major bridges that I mentioned. You can also see our kind of drizzly weather in Portland. We're famous for this. Okay, my mentor, John Samet, said, Bill, you're going to work on these studies a lot, collect data for 1 year, 5 years, and it's all going to come down to one slide. Well, here it is. Risk of injury. We saw 192 injury events. These are injuries that did not require medical attention, but they were a scrape or a bump or something. 164 out of 962 riders reported these types of injuries. And this comes out to about 15 per 100,000 miles of travel. I mentioned I'm an epidemiologist, so here are the confidence limits. Serious injury events, we saw 50 of those. And so not everybody sought medical care. There are a few cases where they didn't, but they felt like they should have later on. But these were 4 per 100,000 miles, so about a quarter of the rate you see above. How can we translate this into lay language for the average typical rider in Portland? About 1 in 5 bike commuters will experience an injury each year. Or you can think about it as if you ride for 5 years, one of those 5 years you'll have an injury event. And about a quarter of those injuries will require medical attention. Here's a sunny day in Portland. And you could, this is not too far from my university. You can see the bike lane is clearly separated by parked cars that have been moved out from the curb, and there's green box there to make a left-hand turn for the bikes. There's a lot of infrastructure on the signaling, the electronic signals, the street painting, a lot of thoughtful planning. But we still get injured. Here's what the type of injuries look like. Here's the distribution. Most injuries, as you would guess, occur to the upper and lower limbs, so arms and legs, and they usually involve the skin, soft tissue. Injuries that are more tend to be more serious are those to the head, face, and the abdomen and the spine. You can see lots of red there in the bar. So those are very serious injuries. They happen much less frequently than injuries to the limbs, to the extremities. If we look at what's associated with injuries, the minor ones, the more serious ones, we didn't find associations by gender, nor did we find associations or correlations by age, body mass index, prior injury event, or wearing a helmet, protective clothing, reflective clothing, or mirror. But we did see some association with a longer commute distance. So the more you're out on the street, the longer you're there, that should make sense to you. You're going to be injured. The serious injury events also, we didn't find rider characteristics to be strongly related with these particular events. However, wearing a helmet was protective against serious injury events. So 88% of people who wore their helmets on a routine basis reported, or rather among those with serious injuries, those 50 serious injuries, 88% reported, 88% reported wearing helmets, and 96% of those who are not injured wore the helmets. And there's a little bit more analysis coming at you. Higher BMIs were protective against serious injury. And so a slightly more padding, cushioning effect, this is seen in motor vehicle occupant crash injuries also. A little bit of protection there by the cushions, good thing, I guess. Commuter skill level was defined this way, as I mentioned. And so beginners were considered to be less than 9 months, intermediate, commuting at least 3 days a week for more than 9 months during the previous year, and experienced doing this for 3 years. And we saw a little bit of a trend here where injury rates were slightly lower in the more advanced riders, but this was not a very substantial difference. And this is something that's an important take-home message for those who believe cycling looks dangerous and are reluctant to try commuting. There is some increased risk as you start, but as you ride more, you are getting experience. You're probably at less at risk of injury. But that risk in the beginning isn't greater in any substantive way to an experienced rider. Monthly incidence was highest in the dark and wet months of December and January, and so these rates are quite a bit higher then, and public service messages have been put out to warn riders of ice and leaves and wet conditions and darkness and lighting up already from this work. Also, not surprisingly, half of the serious injury events were involving a motor vehicle. So in those accidents where their rider collides with a motor vehicle in some way, touches a motor vehicle, half the time there's going to be a serious injury event. Surface conditions are probably contributing in some way to these injury events also. For those of you who like Banksy, sometimes we play with our signs ourselves. This one got an alligator added to the track warning here. Locations. We're trying to learn more about this. I'm going to mention that in a moment, but we saw a lot of injuries occurring in these places that we built for bikes, like the bike lanes, the shoulders, the riders are there. The injuries are happening there. Perhaps it's debris on the road and other problems yet still to be worked out. In residential areas, we see the injuries. Big result of our study is that helmets protect you against serious injuries to your face, your spine, your neck. Our adjusted odds ratio is 0.32, so that's roughly a 70% reduction compared to regular injury events. So this is really a quite important result. In Oregon, if you're 16 or older, you don't have to wear a helmet, but John Malkovich might punch you in the nose if he sees you. Okay, limitations of our study. Certainly, this work was done in Portland. We tended to have more experienced riders. We may not have included riders of lower socioeconomic groups. Portland's unlike other cities in its investment in bike paths, and we have a rainy climate. And our riders recalled this information and reported it to us. But injuries are vivid events. Riders remember, in my opinion, accurately and report accurately. And by asking them once every 30 days, I think we came up with a reasonably accurate incidence and have some pretty good information. We're going to do another study that uses a case crossover design in order to look at the factors in these events. So in conclusion, our three major findings are that injury rates are relatively low, about one time every 5 years. There's a small increased risk of injury for new riders, but again, as I mentioned, this is not substantial and new riders shouldn't be afraid to start. And helmets are highly protective of serious injury and all riders should be encouraged to wear them. I'd like to acknowledge the various groups who helped us in this labor of love, most importantly the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and the Portland Bureau of Transportation, local bike shops. And here's my email address if you'd like a copy of a paper from some of the data that we presented here. Shoot me a line, lambertw@ohsu.edu. Thank you.